Today's Bible reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 32. Instructions for Christian living. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off old self, which being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God, in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind, compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
Good morning, everyone. Before we come to God's word, allow me to read us in a short word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and Lord, we want to pause and to recognize that you are about to speak to us through your word. A word that created everything out of nothing. The word who gave life to the dead. The word which existed from eternity and will exist to eternity. And this morning we ask you, humble ourselves, and Lord, help us to hear you, and not just to hear you, but also to put your word into practice. And we ask this for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a story of a man who woke up at about 6 o'clock in the morning, in this ungodly hour, after hearing this constant banging on the roof. He wanted to know what's happening. I didn't ask anyone to get on the roof. 6 o'clock in the morning, he woke up and he ran out of the door, frustrated, angry. He wants to sleep. He wants to know who was on the roof. And then he found this woodpecker happily chipping away on one of the roof beams. And he yelled and screamed and made all sorts of gestures to kind of get the bird out of the roof, and nothing was helping. Then he took a small stone, a brick from the side, and he threw at the bird, and he missed the bird by about 1.5 yards, and then suddenly he heard a glass smashing sound, and he realized it's his neighbor's window, right? And then out of frustration and anger, he kicked the ground. And obviously, he wasn't wearing any shoes or slippers, and he chipped one of his toenails. Anger. We laugh, we kind of think, oh, what a silly man to do that. But anger is everywhere, isn't it? We live in an angry world. No matter where we live in the world, we find lots of angry people around us. People are angry about what happened yesterday, bitter about the stuff that happened years ago. People are angry because life didn't turn out to be the way that they expected it to be. Someone they trusted betrayed their trust or let them down. They're angry with their spouses or friend, children, with politicians, with themselves, and of course with God. And if we are honest, at one point or the other, we all have gotten angry, right? Mad, furious, frustrated. And sadly, we have seen a lot of grief caused by anger as well. Nations go to war. Countless people have lost their marriages, their children, their jobs, their friends. Some have ended up in jail, and some have lost their own lives. And studies have shown there's a strong link between anger and risk of heart attack and obesity and stroke and eating disorders, migraines, and alcohol addiction. And anger is not a problem only in the world, right? It's a problem in the church. Pastors fight with each other. Church members fight with each other. And sadly, people have left churches because of anger. Churches have split and lost their witness and become a laughing stock to the watching world. And all because people haven't been able to manage or properly deal with their anger. So we need help. We need help. And as Christians, we turn to the Bible, don't we? We turn to the Bible. So we are in this sermon series called Help, I Am. And last couple of weeks, a few weeks ago, we looked at Help, I Am Sad. Last week, we looked at Help, I Am Anxious. Today, Help, I Am Angry. What does the Bible have to say about anger? What does the Bible have to say about anger? The passage that we read this morning is one of many passages that talks about anger in the Bible. Paul, in this letter to the Ephesians, he's writing to the church. And in chapter in particular, he's talking to the church members about unity in the church. Unity in the church. And he says, you shouldn't be divided. There should be no reasons that you are fighting with each other. So some of the things that he suggests in this chapter, he says, verse 7 to 16, use your God-given gifts to serve one another. Verse 17 to 24, remember your new identity. That your old self has to be gotten rid of. And you need to put on the new self, which is created to be in the likeness of God. Holiness and righteousness. Verse 25, he says, be truthful to one another. Verse 28, be generous. Rather than self-serving and stealing from others, work, earn, and share with others. Verse 29, he talks about using the words to build each other up rather than tearing them down. Verse 30 says, allow the Holy Spirit to transform you. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, he says. But then, twice in this passage that was read to us this morning, Paul talks about anger, doesn't he? First in verse 26, it says, in your anger, do not sin. Now, if you have an NIV, New International Version, this is what you will have. But in the original Greek, in your is not there. It is basically be angry, but do not sin. Be angry, but do not sin. It seems Paul here is giving Christians the permission to be angry. He sees the appropriateness of getting angry. Oh, no, it is strange, isn't it? Oh, you kind of wonder, how can unity and be angry work together? It doesn't. You kind of wonder, what's going on here? Then come down to verse 31, and he says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Now, this is what we want to see, don't we? If you want to be united, we need to get rid of anger. We need to get rid of bitterness. So what's happening here? Is Paul contradicting himself? And once he says, be angry, and the next thing he says, get rid of anger? I want to suggest this morning, Paul is talking about two kinds of anger, which the Bible also talks about. There's good anger, which needs to be expressed wisely and carefully, which can produce positive, good outcomes. And there is the bad anger, which needs to be get rid of promptly because it can cause a lot of grief and destruction. So I'm going to think about these two with you this morning. Good anger. And this is also called the righteous anger or the godly anger. Some call it the Christian anger, if you can call it. Now, when Paul says in verse 26, he says, be angry. He grounds this in the Bible itself, right? So the quote that we have in verse 26 is actually a quote from Psalm chapter 4, where King David has been indignant. He's been angry and he's been so upset because people have been worshipping idols and disobeying God. Now David was kind of feeling the same anger that God would feel about sin. Anger, indignation, wrath. In the Bible, God's anger or wrath is actually an attribute of God. It's one of the attributes, qualities of God that is described. In Exodus chapter 32, after people worshipped this golden calf at the foot of Mount Sinai, God says to Moses, just leave me. Let me burn with anger because my people have disobeyed me. They are a stiff-necked people. In Deuteronomy 32, God says, they made me jealous by worshipping what is no God and angered me with their worthless idols. And we see God's full wrath falling on our sin, on Jesus, don't we? On a cross. Because God doesn't tolerate sin. When people disobey him, he doesn't tolerate that. Come to the New Testament. Think about Jesus. We can think about a few occasions that he got angry, right? In Matthew 21, he was angry at people who had made the temple of God a den of robbers. And so he takes a whip, goes around, turns the tables, and he chases people away in anger. In Mark 3, he was angry when the Pharisees, when they refused to listen to him. In John 11, when he saw his own friend Lazarus died, and then he sees what death has done to his own friend, he was moved by anger. So when Paul affirms the appropriateness of anger in Ephesians chapter 4, in a sense, he is kind of validating an emotion that the Lord Jesus himself had, right? He sees the same God who created us to express love and joy and peace. That same God has also created us to express our displeasure over hurt, injustice, and evil around us. And sometimes it is an effective way of surviving or protecting ourselves from dangers. And it is kind of the God-given fight or flight responses that we have. There is room for godly anger, good anger, in the church and in the world. The New Testament scholar and the late John Stott, he wrote this. I'll read this for us. There's great need in the contemporary world for more Christian anger. We human beings compromise with sin in a way which God never does. In the face of blatant evil, we should be indignant and not tolerant, angry, not apathetic. If God hates sin, his people should hate sin too. If evil arouses his anger, it should arouse others too. Christians must be angry at over social issues like drugs and alcohol and gambling, human trafficking, child abuse, racism. Good anger leads us to write to our politicians to keep them accountable, advocate for good policies and systems. It leads us to love our neighbors and care for them, speak up for those who don't have a voice, seek justice. And good anger leads parents to discipline their kids, isn't it? In the church, good anger should be applied over sinful behavior and living and heretical teaching. There is room for good godly anger. But if we are not careful, good anger can easily turn into bad anger, can't it be? Friends, feeling angry is not a sin. It is what we do with anger that makes it sinful. That's why we need to be careful about bad anger. And that's why in the same breath, Paul, who writes to the Christians in Ephesians, he writes, "Be angry, but do not sin." Because, friends, the line between good anger and bad anger is ever so thin. And although anger is an attribute of God, I think we need to remember we are not God. We are sinful. Our minds are tainted with sin. And like every good gift that we have received from God, in the hands of sinful people, we misuse and abuse his good gifts for wrong ways. Our anger can be motivated by pride, injured pride, animosity, hatred, spite, jealousy, and unrealistic expectations, right? Anger can make us think less of others. Anger can cause us to curse and abuse and put other people down, degrade them, and say all sorts of bad things. Anger can cause us to hate our brothers and sisters and start fights and wars. Anger can cause us to harm ourselves, abuse our bodies, take drugs, do stupid things, even take our own lives. But most importantly, anger can distance us from God. Have you tried praying when you're angry? Have you tried reading the Bible when you're angry? Do you feel like coming to church when you're angry? Do you feel like talking to your Christian friends or anyone when you're angry? Verse 27 says, the devil will have a field day with angry people. He will exploit and manipulate angry people to disobey God, because that is his job, isn't it? He's roaring around like a roaring lion, roaming around like a roaring lion, trying to see who I can devour. And angry people, without dealing with their anger properly, leave a door open for the devil. So Paul tells the Christians, be angry, but deal with your anger soon. Verse 26, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. What does it mean? Don't go to sleep while you're still angry. Don't take anger to your bed. Because friends, can you sleep when you're angry? Have you tried to sleep while you're angry? You can't. You'll be thinking about, oh, what a stupid thing that person did to me that day. You'll be thinking about what the revenge you're going to take. You'll be thinking all sorts of bad things. What are you going to say to the person next time you meet? You'll be kind of wallowing in your thoughts. The longer you're going to keep that anger, the harder the heart is going to get. You're going to store bitterness and resentment, and it's going to give birth to rage and insults and bad mouthing and violence. And this is the bad anger that Paul says, get rid of. Paul says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every kind of malice. Because this anger, which is human anger, man's anger, James writes in his letter in chapter 1, verse 20, he says, this doesn't bring God's righteousness, the righteousness that God desires. The story of a lady who went to her pastor and said, and she tried to rationalize her angry outbursts, this bad temper that she has. And she said to the pastor, there's nothing wrong with losing my temper. I just blew up and that's it. It's all gone. It's all over. The pastor looked at the lady and said, so does a shotgun. Look at the damage it leaves behind when it blows up. Just earlier this week, I was talking to someone who had to listen to a 3 or 4 page statement from her brother, who has harbored anger for, listen to this, 60 years. 60 years worth of anger blown off, and he'd been harboring this for 60 years. And when he blew it off, he didn't care what the outcome's going to be. He just wanted to blow it off. Friends, bad anger brings unrighteousness, promotes sin and ungodliness. It leaves a trail of destruction, as we've noted before. So Paul says, don't allow that to happen. Get rid of bad anger. Some things we can do to help. Matthew chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus says, you know what? If you're going to the church and if you realize that you have an issue with someone, just leave the offering there and then just go and reconcile. Reconcile before you offer your sacrifices. Don't come to church angry at someone. You might want to use Matthew 18 principle. If you have an issue with your brother, talk to him. Just go and talk to him. If he doesn't listen, take somebody else, a couple of people, and try to talk to him. If he doesn't still listen, then talk to the church. There is this process of dealing with conflict. And James writes again, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Because friends, do you know, a lot of arguments happen because we are not listening. We don't listen to people. We are quick to say what we want to say, and we don't listen to people. And then there's this arguments and brawling, and because we haven't understood the other person. And we must practice the fruit of the Spirit. To be patient, to love, to be kind, to be self-controlled. Paul says to the Roman church these words. He says these words to allow the Roman church to keep the big picture in mind. And when we are angry, we need to keep the big picture in mind. He says these words. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, he says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We sang that song, the second song this morning, isn't it? See him coming in the clouds of heaven, having that big picture in mind. Yes, Jesus is going to return one day. And when he returns, he is going to return as, not just as the King of Kings, but as the Judge. And he will deal with evil people. He will bring justice. And there will be times that you might need to take professional help. Especially if you are struggling with PTSD or if there is this deep-seated anger. You need professional help. And we may need to get mediators. Now, Peacewise is one of the organizations based here in Australia. And they are a Christian organization on conflict resolution. You might want to get someone involved to mediate with issues. But at times we also might need to let the authorities do what they are told to do. Get the authorities involved. Don't take the law into your hands. But most importantly, ask help from the Lord. Pray. Pray and ask help from the Lord. Ask God to help you to deal with anger and express it in godly ways, in productive ways. But here in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul gives one last strategy to get rid of bad anger. Have a look at verse 32. Paul says, replace bitterness, anger, rage, brawling, slander, malice with kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. Do you want to get rid of bad anger? Instead of showing anger, show kindness to one another. Instead of a hard heart, have a compassionate heart. Show mercy and show grace. But also be prepared to do the most difficult thing, to forgive. Forgive one another, says, just as in Christ God forgave you. It's a call to look at the cross. When you're angry, look at the cross. Remember how God forgave you while you were still enemies and rebels. And this is the basis, friends, when Jesus said to his disciples, you should forgive anybody who has done offended you. You should forgive not just once, not just seven times, no, 70 times seven, lots of times. This is the basis for that. This morning we thought about anger, didn't we? We must remember feeling angry is not a sin. There is a place for good, godly, Christian anger which brings positive, good outcomes. We should always be angry at unrighteousness. We should always be angry at injustice. We should always be angry at sin. But we must be mindful that how soon good anger can turn into bad anger. And we must do everything possible, but by God's grace, to get rid of bad anger. Because at the end of the day, God's desire is that we become more and more like Jesus. That we become more and more like Jesus. The way we deal with people, the way we interact with people, the way we forgive, the way we express our anger. Not that people will think good about us. No, the focus is that they will think about Jesus, your Lord and my Lord. They will see the reason for our living is not something that we have, but something that God has given us, His grace. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for creating us in your image. Thank you for putting us this emotion, Lord, to be angry at sin, to be indignant about injustices that happen around us. Help us to express our anger in godly, good ways. Help us to direct it to positive outcomes, to bring good to our society and to our neighbors. And Father, help us to get rid of bitterness, resentment, and help us to get rid of the bad anger that can easily creep into our hearts. And Father, when that happens, prompt us. We thank you for the help that we have in your word. Thank you that we can come to you. And this morning I pray, Father, if there's anyone this morning who is struggling with anger, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will continue to minister to them. If they need forgiveness, help them to find forgiveness. And if they are the ones who need to forgive others, I pray, Lord, that you give them the grace to do that. And Father, may there be love and joy and peace and, Lord, unity among your people as we live together. As we show anger appropriately and as we get rid of bad anger from amongst us. And we ask this not for our own sakes, but for the glory of your name in Jesus. Amen.